before proms and final exams. That usually ends up being around January or March. Taking it that early gives you plenty of time to prepare during the first part of the year, and, if you don't like your scores, to try again in the early summer or fall. Just make sure you take them early enough to get your scores off to the college you want to go to. Know all the important deadlines. That's another important point to make about the SATs. One of the questions students want to ask is, what's a good score? And really, there is no answer to that. Ultimately, the SAT has no bearing on your intelligence, your scholastic aptitude, how well you do in college, or what a decent person you are. It's just this test you have to take to get into college. So the score that's good is the score you need to get into the college you want to go to. If your school requires a 1200, then that's a good score. If it requires a 2000, then that's a good score. That's it. This is about getting into college, not proving to some test makers that you can pass their test. So with that out of the way, let's talk a little bit about registration. Unfortunately, you actually have to pay for the test. It's $43 per test, so prepare accordingly. These days, you can register in a couple of ways. There's the tried-and-true, old-fashioned mail-in bulletin that you can get from your guidance counselor, of course. More than likely, you're going to be registering online. Whichever way you register, you'll need to choose when and where you're going to take the test. Obviously, you want to try and take it close to home. After registration, you'll get an admission ticket that you're going to need to get into the testing center, so keep it safe. When everything's said and done, all your prep work is finished, and it's the night before the test, we implore you to take the following advice. Don't cram. Don't study. Spend that Friday night relaxing, spending some time with your family, watching some television, doing some reading for pleasure, and so on. If you haven't mastered the concepts on the SAT by the night before the test, one more night isn't going to do it, and a relaxed mind is a much better tool than what you get after a late night cramming. Get a good night's rest, too. Go to bed early and get up early. And when you do get up early, eat a good hearty breakfast. That way, during the 4 hours that you'll be taking the test, you won't be distracted by hunger. Now, the last thing we want to do before moving on is give you a piece of advice about, well, advice. You're going to get a lot of it. If you're taking classes for the test or reading other books, everyone is going to have some little trick or thing you can do to help you before your test. For instance, some tutors will tell you to go for a light jog the day of the test. There is some merit to this, as exercise increases blood flow to the brain, which increases concentration, memory retrieval, and a whole lot of other stuff beneficial to brain function. But, and this is a big but, if you're not a regular on the exercise circuit, then after even a light jog, you'll be tired and worn out and not too terribly alert during that 4-hour test you have to take later. Others will tell you to eat specific meals the night before or for breakfast the day of. Again, some of this will have some merit, but what we really want to tell you is that ultimately, your best bet is to not break with a normal routine. If you usually drink coffee in the morning, then you probably want to drink coffee the morning of the test. If you usually jog, take a jog. The whole point is to ensure that you are as comfortable and calm as possible. A nervous mind can do nothing but hurt you while you're taking the test. Now that you've got all that prep out of the way, let's really dig into how the test is put together. We already know that the test is divided into three subjects: critical reading, math, and writing. And we already know that each subject is given a score of up to 800 for a total score of 2400. What you really want to try and avoid doing is thinking of the SAT as three big subjects. Instead, we want you to think of the test as 10 small sections. The test always begins with a 25-minute long essay, and the test always ends with a 10-minute long grammar section. In between is a giant jumble of sections that includes 5 20-minute sections, 2 for math, 2 for reading, and 1 for writing, and 2 20-minute sections, 1 for math and 1 for reading. But wait, you're saying, I know how to count. That's only 9 sections and you said 10. There's no way I'm learning math from you people. Well, you'd be right. That is only 9 sections. The only 9 sections you'll be scored on. Unfortunately, in spite of that, there are 10 sections. The 10th section is a 25-minute long group of experimental questions that are randomly chosen to be math, reading, or writing. This experimental section is used to try out new types of questions. The proctor will not tell you which section is the experimental one. But if you're paying attention to the questions themselves, you may notice a section where the questions are oddly worded or quite a